Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am continuing my teaching on financial stewardship. And I think that this is appropriate to be teaching on it at this time. You know, the world financial system is showing all of its flaws, and there's people that are in despair and stuff. And I'm just here to tell you that God has a way to prosper you. And the Scripture has a lot to say about finances. I know that there's criticism against it. There's a special resistance towards ministers talking on finance, and some people equate it with greed and selfishness. And just because there's abuse, you know, I in some ways, I would just as soon teach on something else. But there is a need for this right now. And so I'm teaching on financial stewardship and prosperity because I believe that it's a timely message. And I've already talked about the first teaching in this album that I have is entitled, What is a Steward? And we just talk about what it is to recognize that God is your source and to be responsible to God and to pray over things and let God lead you and not look at your money as being your money, but turning it over and recognizing God gave you your health, your talents, your abilities, your favor, your health, and that ultimately God is responsible for all of your prosperity. So you ought to watch over it as a steward. That's a person who manages the affairs, especially the financial affairs of another person. Don't look at your money as being your own. Don't look at your house as being your own, even though it's in your name. Don't look at your cars as being your own, even though it's in your name. God is the one who has prospered you. God has enabled you. And pray over it and let God lead you. If you would do that, that is so simple. You got to have somebody to help you to misunderstand what I'm trying to say right here. But that is so simple and it's so profound that I can guarantee you that would drastically change most of our investments, most of the things we're spending money on, how we spend it and things like that. So that's the first thing we talked about. And then the second thing, we were using in Luke chapter 16, verse 10, where Jesus said, if you can't do that which is least, you can't do that which is much. If you aren't faithful in least, you won't be faithful in much. And in the context, he's talking about money. Money is the least area of being faithful to the Lord. And if you can't be faithful in your money, then you can't be faithful in anything greater. Being born again is greater than managing money. Being healed is greater than managing money. You know, if you're healthy, all the money in the world can't buy health. You can't buy happiness. There's so many things that are more important than money. But if you can't do that which is least, you can't do that which is greatest. And I've made some radical statements on this program that I think that there's a lot of people today who hang around Christianity. They consider themselves to be a Christian because they aren't a Buddhist or a Muslim or a Hindu, and so they just assume by default, well, I'm a Christian. I believe that there's a God, and I believe Jesus was His Son. The Bible says in James chapter 2, verse 19, I believe it is, you think there's one God, you do well. The devils also believe and tremble. But won't you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Just believing that there's a God does not make you a Christian. Believing that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ, does not make you a Christian. You have to commit your life to Him and put faith in Him and trust Him for your salvation. So I'm saying that there's a lot of people who call themselves Christians. They profess it, but they don't possess it. And one of the ways that is an indication of whether you are a true possessor of Christianity is about finances. Are you giving? Are you taking a tenth of what you have and giving it to God? Do you give offerings and things above that? Are you trusting God? If you say that, oh, I'm trusting Him with my eternal destiny, but I can't trust Him with my money, something is wrong with that picture. You're saying I can do that which is greatest, but I can't do that which is least. And Jesus used this exact logic on a man that is recorded in Mark chapter 10, the rich young ruler who came and ran and fell at His feet and said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He was trying to earn relationship with God. What must I do? And the Lord recognized that he wasn't truly submitted and committed to Jesus as being the Son of God. And he says, why are you calling me good? There's only one good, and that's God. Either call me God or drop the good. Well, he dropped the good. He was refusing to go that far. He says, I've kept all of the commandments. And the Lord loved him and said, one thing you lack, go sell whatever you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me and you'll have treasure in heaven. The Lord didn't say that to hurt him. The Lord said that because this man's money was his God. And to prove it, when the Lord presented this to him and said, get rid of everything you own and give it to the poor and then come and have a relationship with me. This man went away sad and he didn't receive. Let me just ask you this. If you came to one of my meetings and if I gave an invitation and if somebody came forward and I perceived that this man wasn't really sincere in his commitment to the Lord, he was just maybe somebody that brought him, pushed him forward. Maybe he wanted to have the acceptance of Christian people and being included in the group, but he wasn't really with his whole heart making a sincere commitment to God. What would you think if I told him, I said, go sell everything you have. Sell your house. Sell your car. Get rid of everything and give all of this money away and then you can come and be born again. I can guarantee you, if I did something like that, most of you would crucify me. Most of you, I guarantee you, I'd be on the news for saying things like that. All of the mainline churches today would reject me and say, that is unbiblical. You can't do that. A man doesn't have to sell everything. And it would cause no small stir. I'm telling you, that is exactly what Jesus did. Jesus didn't do that to everybody. So therefore, I don't believe that you have to preach that to be a Christian, you got to sell everything. But what he was doing was showing that you have to be willing to do that. You have to truly be willing to put him first. You have to commit yourself to God. Now, if we were to preach that degree of commitment, not necessarily to tell everybody you got to sell everything, but say if you aren't willing to turn your finances over to Jesus, if you aren't willing to trust him with your whole heart, then you aren't qualified to be saved. If we were to preach that today, I guarantee you, you'd get in big time trouble. You'd be rejected by a lot of people. And yet, I challenge you, study these scriptures, Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22, and tell me that Jesus did anything other than that. Jesus used a man's unwillingness to give everything that he had to the poor, to give it away and trust God as an indication that he wasn't truly putting his total trust in God. And I'm telling you, the same thing is true today. I have people all the time tell me things like, well, I want to give and I would give, but... And then they give an explanation. I've been sick and I haven't had any income. But what they're basically saying is, I need this money. I don't have enough. Most people, I've had so many people tell me that, man, when my ship comes in, I'm going to give to you. I've had people give me $1 million checks that weren't worth the paper it was written on. In the future, they were going to do this, but they wouldn't share. You know, if they had $10, they wouldn't give $1 of it to the ministry today. It was all off in the future. And basically, here's what they're saying is, when I get enough money that all of my needs are taken care of and that I don't have any problems and I don't have to trust God, then I'm going to start being a giver. You're missing the whole point. The reason that God wants you to give in the first place is because he wants you to see him as your source. How do you do that? Well, it's one thing to say, oh yeah, God's my source, but you need to prove it. And for you to take a portion, let's just say 10% of what you've got, and give it to the church, give it to the poor, give to someone in the name of the Lord. You know what? If you don't trust God, it's going to be impossible for you to prosper that way. You'll never be as well off as the people who keep 100% if all you use is human logic. But because God said that when you put first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. The things are talking about what you eat, where you sleep, what you're clothed with. God promised that when you put him first, he will bless you supernaturally. And so the real reason behind giving is God wants you to trust him. You spend 40 hours a week or more working, Some of you do two jobs. Some of you do all kinds of things. And if you don't focus on it and make a deliberate attempt, it's easy for you to feel like this is my money. This is a product of my blood, sweat, and tears. And you feel like it's yours. So how does the Lord get you to trust Him and see Him as your source? He's the one that gave you your talents, your abilities, your health, this opportunity, being born at this time. How do you see, how do you keep yourself in remembrance that God is your source and that you're just a steward? You take a portion of what you've got and you say, God, I know that you're the one who ultimately has prospered me. Even though I've worked, you're the source, and here I'm proving it. I'm taking a portion of what I've got and I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to your kingdom. I'm giving it to what you instruct me to do. And by doing so, I know that you're going to prosper me. You've got scriptures like Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. So I'm giving and I'm going to see this money come back. And it's a faith thing. That's the reason that God wants you to do it. You know, this is going to be hard for some of you to grab hold of. But the reason that the Lord set His kingdom up so that it operates off of tithes and giving is because He wanted you to trust Him and see Him as your source. It's not because I need your money or your church needs your money. And I know that there are some of you that are thinking, oh, that's absolutely wrong. If we quit tithing, if we quit giving, you'd go off television, churches would fold. Well, the way that it's set up, yes, that's true, because God supplies our needs through people's giving. But God could have set up the system some other way. I mean, God can do anything. God could have made every true, anointed, born again, spirit-filled minister independently wealthy. He could do it. God could have just given me unlimited amounts of money. And I tell you, when I first started in ministry, if faith and confession would have gotten that, I would have had it because I didn't want to receive offerings. I didn't want to talk about finances because of the criticism that it brings, because people were thinking that I was saying it for selfish motivation. So I wanted to stray away from it. And I prayed that God would just make me independently wealthy so I could put $1 billion in the bank and live off of the interest. I prayed for that. But you know what? That's not God's system. I've come to realize that God set it up that the people who are ministered to are supposed to give back financially to where they were fed. Just like if you go to McDonald's and eat there, you pay McDonald's. You don't go across the street and pay Wendy's. You give where you're fed. And this is the way that God set it up. And you know why God did that? It might make it harder on me and on your church. We might be dependent upon people in that way instead of just directly dependent upon God. But the reason God set it up that way is because He wants you to recognize Him as your source and trust Him in this financial realm. And how is it that He gets you to do that? Again, you're working, you're doing all of these things. It would be easy for you to think this is my money. But all God would have to do is just reach down and stir the chemicals in your brain just a little bit and you'd be dripping drool off your chin. You'd be in a padded cell someplace. God's one that gives you your breath. He withdraws your breath from you. Your prosperity's over. Whether you realize it or not, God is your source. So how is it that you keep yourself in this place of recognizing God, you're my source? It's real easy. God said, give. And you know what? You either trust Him and give, and if you do, well, then you see that God is prospering you. And here you are living off 90% or 80%, and you're more prosperous than you were when you kept 100%. And it's just a manifest token to you that, you know what? God is my source. I'm working, but God is my source. God is blessing me. And that's the reason God told you to give. That's the reason God set it up this way. That's the reason that He's made ministries like mine dependent upon people giving, because He wants you to trust Him. He wants you to get involved. It's like opening up your business to investors. As people give into it, they are going to reap back and God will bless them. And it's a step of faith on their part. God set it up this way so that He could get you to trust Him in this area of finances. And that's exactly the logic behind what He did with this rich young ruler. He didn't say these things to drive him away. That was the end result. The rich young ruler left because he wasn't willing to just commit himself totally to God and trust Him. But the Lord told him to do this because he wanted him to trust him. Money was a barrier. Money was a god to him. And let me say this in love, but let me say it forcefully, that those of you who say, well, I want to give, but I just can't. You know what? Money is a barrier to you that's standing between you and God. God told you that if you would honor him with the first fruits of your increase, he would make your barns burst out with plenty and your presses with new wine. That if you give, it'll be given unto you. And on the promises go. There's many promises. I'm sure most of you have heard some of those promises and you know what the word says, but it just basically comes down to, I can't believe it. I need this. You know, if somehow or another, if you were present with me right now, if we were holding a church service, and if I had the resources, I don't have the resources, so don't call me or write and ask for this, but I'm saying if I had the resources that I said, every person who gives a dollar, I'll give you $100 back. If you give $2, I'll give you $200 back. If I had the resources to do that, and if I said that and promised it, and if my word was good, you would be absolutely foolish not to give me a dollar, because it's going to work to your benefit. And you know what? In the natural realm, I think everybody understands that. If I would make a promise like that, if I could enforce it, if I had the wherewithal to do it, and if you trusted me, then every person in that room would give me as much money as you possibly could. And if you didn't have any money with you, you'd ask your neighbor, give me a dollar and I'll give you back five. Because by you giving me that dollar, you'd get 100 and you'd still come away with 95. You would borrow. You would do whatever. You would do whatever if you truly believe that my word was true. Well, God promised right here in this same chapter we're reading from in verse 29. It's verse 29 and 30. He says that no man hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. Now see, this isn't just talking about in the future, just in spiritual ways, but in tangible ways in this life, now in this time, you'll receive houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the world to come, eternal life. That's a promise of God. Give and it shall be given unto you. Luke 6:38 and on all of these promises go. God has promised. And for him to make this promise and then I say, I just can't afford to give. You don't really trust the promise. You can whitewash that any way you want to. You can try and make that look better. You can do anything you want to. And there's no other way to examine this than if I say, I'll give you $100 for every one you give me. And you have money in your pocket and you say, oh, but I need this. I can't afford to give to you. You can't afford not to give. If you really believed me, you would give. And if you really believed God, you would give. You know what it comes down to? It's not the fact that you've been laid off from work. It's not this. It's not that. The bottom line is, you don't believe the promises of God. I'm not saying that to hurt you. I'm saying it to enlighten you. I'm saying that, you see, we haven't really made God our source. We think it's up to us. It's that job. It's our effort that is really producing our prosperity. The truth is, God is your source. And if you were to get out of that fear and get into faith and go to trusting and obeying God, your prosperity would increase and you would be better off giving away 10% than you are keeping 100%. I know that there's some people watching this program saying that's crazy. 90% is not as much as 100%. It is when God is in it. God's math is different than the world's math. When you obey God, God will cause you to prosper. You know, again, my life is a testimony of this. My ministry is a testimony of this. We give away materials. We suggest a donation. We put a suggested donation and we encourage people to give. But bottom line is, if a person asks for this teaching on financial stewardship, we have people that send in a penny, that send in a dime. We've had people send in a button. And you know what? We send them the album. We have about 50, I forget the exact figure, but I think it's around 50, 53% of the people who ask for my materials don't send a thing, and we send it out. And you know what? There's people thinking, you can't do that. You'll go broke. I've been doing it for 40 years. And you know what? We are prospering. and God is blessing us. You know, this doesn't only work for preachers to preach it to other people, but this will work for preachers. Amen. It works. And some people think this doesn't make sense. If you're giving away, I've given away over 6 million tapes, CDs, DVDs, books, 6 million of them. And if you just put $5 value on each one of those, that's $30 million worth of stuff I give away. How can you do this? I don't know. It doesn't make sense. But you know what? We're afloat. And while other ministries that charge, and again, I'm not against people charging. They can do whatever they feel God wants them to do. I'm just saying I'm obeying God. And other ministries who charge for their materials and don't give them away free are suffering. And they're laying off employees, whereas we're hiring and we're expanding and we're prospering. Somebody says this doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to the natural mind. It takes faith to believe this. It takes God factored into the equation to make these things come out. 100% minus 10% equals 120%. That's God's math. But, you know, it doesn't make sense to the world. I'm telling you, it's a matter of faith. And Jesus used people's attitude towards money to expose the fact that they weren't truly trusting in God. If you can't trust God to keep His promises about your finances, then I doubt seriously that you are trusting God to keep His promises about your eternal salvation. And some people think, man, that is a strong statement. I got it from Jesus. It's what the Bible says. Now, I believe that there are some people born again because the Bible makes it clear in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We haven't had the Word presented properly about finances. Again, most Christians just push this to the side and think, oh, that's only for the super mature saints, and they don't share this. And so, since your faith is limited to what you hear from the Word, I think it's possible to have a person born again who's only heard the Scriptures about the initial salvation experience, and so they receive that and operate in it. But that's not the way it's supposed to be presented. And I also think that it is very possible that there are some people who are deceiving themselves into thinking that they're a Christian, but they aren't truly possessors of it. And one of the ways that you can tell is the same God who promised you salvation also promised you blessing and said He would multiply your giving. When you give, it would be given back unto you. And if you want to know for sure that you've got a relationship with God, start trusting Him in this area of finances and prove it and see if it doesn't work. And I tell you, that'll be a stepping stone to something else. If you're faithful in that which is least, I believe it'll be increased to something more. I know I'm saying some radical things here, but there are things that are straight from Scripture and things that I believe we need to come to grips with. I've got a teaching on this entitled Financial Stewardship. And I've got a lot more to share on this, and so we're going to continue to be talking about this, but you need these materials. I believe it would really, really be a blessing to you. So this is my CD album on this, and I'd like to encourage you to get this. If you'll listen, our announcer is going to give you some information about how you can get this. And not only would this be good for you, but this would be a great way to share these truths with someone else. A lot of people haven't heard the truth of the Word about this. So please listen, please call or write, and then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's teaching titled Financial Stewardship is available in a 6-part CD album, or it's available in a DVD album made from Andrew's daily TV broadcast. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1052C or DVD album T1052D when you contact the ministry. The second teaching in the audio CD album titled Prosperity's First Step is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to send a gift, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD free of charge. Request teaching number T016C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of ministry resources available to you. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, we travel all across the country and around the world holding gospel truth seminars. I just finished one in Phoenix, and I tell you, it was powerful. There were people's lives changed. I had a tremendous amount of comments on that. And there's many things that happen. Of course, the teaching of the Word is good, but you can get that right here over television. You can get the products. But at a gospel truth seminar, we bring, 40, 50 people with us that pray, and the love, the ministry that goes on, the miracles. We saw some wonderful miracles take place. It is just an atmosphere of faith that the whole conference will change your life. So I encourage you to listen as we advertise these gospel truth seminars, and if at all possible, come and join me.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs this week for the Karis Bible College weekend, March 12th through the 14th. He'll also be in Merritt Island, Florida, April 19th through the 22nd, Chicago, Illinois, May 7th through the 9th, and in Raleigh, North Carolina for a Gospel Truth Seminar, June 11th through the 13th. And in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, June 29th through July 3rd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to invite you to join me on March the 12th through the 14th for our Karis Bible College weekend. It's going to be right here in Colorado Springs at our Karis Bible College. And I know that there's many of you that just recognize that there's something more. You don't know exactly where to go. And you know what? Bible college would be an awesome first step just to saturate yourself under the Word of God. God speaks to people. People's lives are changed. And so we're going to introduce you to our Bible college. There's actual CBC classes that you'll be sitting in on. You'll have a lunch with the faculty. There's a great time of fellowship. It goes Thursday morning through Saturday noon, March the 12th through the 14th, right here at our facilities in Colorado Springs.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more gospel truth.
There's nothing wrong with being rich, but there is something wrong with trusting in your riches. I've known a lot of poor people that have trust in riches. Matter of fact, they can covet and lust for money more than people who have a lot of it. I've known some very wealthy people who had realized that money wasn't going to satisfy them. They had everything they could ever desire, and it wasn't satisfying them. They turned to the Lord, found their satisfaction in the Lord, and they are actually freer from the trust and the lust of money than some poor people who don't have it.